Dude, I, you're not on. Sorry about that.
There you go. How dare you? What's up, dude?
I think I'm in love, bro.
You're in love?
Yeah, dude, I'm in love right now.
With who?
Well, first off, in love with myself.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
My therapist says I should look in the mirror more often and say I love myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
I think you should do
Have you ever done like a tantric masturbation session? I know we're getting so crazy. I should have waited 30 seconds before I said this. So all my
Is that what you're in love with?
Myself? Oh my God.
Is that what you mean when you're in love? You're in love with
myself, yeah.
Okay.
I think, okay, well, on a serious note, first off, crewmates, if you're under 17 or you're with your parents, I do apologize about this, but this is what I do believe.
Okay.
I believe that there's no greater self-love action that you can do to yourself than tantric masturbation.
There's no greater self-love you can do yourself than tantric masturbation.
Well, because this is what I mean, like...
I guess so. I mean, it really depends on the standards.
No, I mean, without watching porn. Like, to really feel each crevice of... No, this is like self-love of your body. Like,
yeah.
The ability to take your two hands and start from your head and feel every single crevice of your body and be okay with it.
What is tantric masturbation? I don't... I mean, I could guess. Like, I know what tantric sex is, but tantric masturbation just pleasuring yourself.
It's like pleasure
right before you come.
Right. No, it's like the build up to that explosion. So it's not thinking about, hey, I am trying to last as long as I can.
Yes.
It's more, let me enjoy this entire process from start to finish while touching every single pleasure zone in my body.
Got it.
By yourself.
Got it.
Does this make sense?
Yeah. I think I get it. Do you have a drawing or a map or something? Like a textbook?
Well, I can hold the mic maybe and
no,
do, okay. Well,
that's okay.
Well, yeah, because mostly when people masturbate, you know, they want to like end this as quickly as they can. Like, you know?
I guess I feel like I probably do participate in tantric masturbation.
But are you watching
because
porn?
Yeah.
No, see, that's not tantric masturbation.
Why?
You have to.
Did you like how I said yeah? I was like, yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah,
you do.
I think I do.
Yes, you do. Because you have to, it's like you have to get outside of yourself while watching yourself masturbate.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Wait, so you have to watch yourself masturbate?
Like in my mind.
Okay.
Like not in my mind.
Into a mirror.
Right. Like in my mind, I'm thinking about where my hands are on my body rather than like thinking about someone in my head that I'm jacking off to. Because sometimes I do. Sometimes I have a person in mind, and because I don't want anybody to walk in that I don't want to walk into my brain, I say that person's name over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So let's say, for example, give me a woman's name that's
Monica.
Monica. So
yeah.
I envision Monica in my head, and I'm like, Monica, 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 Monica. So that way...
Until Gloria steps in, and you're like, Gloria!
No, that's not the person. She's a family member, you know?
Yeah.
That's why you say Monica over and over and over again. But with
I think more in imagery. Sorry to cut you off.
No, I do think of imagery.
Yeah.
So I'm saying the name, and so that way I can see that...
You're not thinking of, like, sexual acts being done to you?
Yes, of course.
Okay. You're not just thinking, you don't have the like black screen.
It's not a black screen with like Times New Roman text like coming in and out.
John's,
no, it's not, dude.
John's jerking off to fonts. Love me some.
I do like Futura though.
Comic Sans.
Dude, Futura is really nice.
Futura is really nice.
F-U-T-U-R-A bold. It's really nice.
Yeah, I've used that.
Oh my God. Because it doesn't have a curve.
It's hot.
It's hot. It's kind of sexy.
Yeah.
Those Fuck S's? You, Monica. Futura.
Those S's?
Ooh, don't even get
Kirby
me
and shit?
Started,
okay.
Dude. Okay, we're going to end this in a second.
Okay.
We're going to introduce ourselves in the podcast, but you get, like, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
The ability to just be one with yourself while pleasuring yourself.
Okay, so tantric needs to, it's both a solo performance.
It's a solo performance throughout. Even like in your mind.
Okay, so in your mind, you can't think of anyone. You have to just
think
of
you.
About yourself.
You're thinking about you, your hand, and whatever you're touching.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, I did it, I think, 3-4 days ago.
How long does this go on for?
I don't even know. See, that's the thing. You don't even allow, you let time pass.
Yeah.
You don't even, I woke up in the morning and I was like, oh my God, what is this?
I just don't have time
And
for
I
that.
Thought to myself, you know what, Jonathan? I know you don't have the time for this, but I don't even know if I had the time. I just woke up and I was like, this is here. What do I want to do with this?
Yeah.
And I said, I guess today I'm going all out. And so then I turn to the side, and luckily, when I turn to the side, I just happen to have my lotion.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is a sign from God. Like, everything was just in line to do this. I can't believe I'm being so vulnerable right now. Anyway, hello, everyone. Hi, son of a bitch.
And we're back.
Oh, my God. Hello, hello, hello. Please don't judge me too much, but whatever. Fuck it.
What's there to judge? You're a boy who yeah, yanks the wank.
I just hope that this podcast doesn't become Yanking the Wanking Podcast. But it doesn't. Have you heard the last episode? Oh, no, because it got deleted, but it's coming back tomorrow. Anyway, hello, hello, hello. Hello, everyone. My name is Jonathan Garano.
I'm Noah Finling.
And welcome to the Bottle Club.
How's it going?
Yeah, we're about to talk about some things. I call these guys the crewmates.
Hey, crew.
What's up? What's up? How are you? How are you, by the way?
I'm doing good. Today was a weird day.
What happened?
This is a weird thing to talk about, but there's this thing in comedy, these like lists.
Yeah.
Have you seen these?
I'm
sure Morgan's talked to you about
them. Yeah, go on.
You get the JFL list, the Vulture list, Community Should Know list. I've been on a list before, which is cool. But
do Jews like to be on lists, though?
What's that?
That was a bad joke.
Do Jews like to be on lists? No, we don't.
Exactly.
Unless it's for our comedic prowess. No, we don't.
What's up with me today, dude? I'm sorry.
That's okay. You were in the car for a long time.
Yeah, driving up. 4 hours.
It's all bottled up. You're ready to go.
Yeah.
You're going to have some fun.
Jesus Christ.
No, but this list came out, and I love everyone on this list. There's some dear friends on this list. But you know, when I'm not on those lists, sometimes it makes me feel bad about myself.
Oh.
You know? And I hate it. I hate that I feel bad about myself because I genuinely am happy for all of these people. Like, I think they're incredibly funny. They're peers and friends of mine, and I only want the best for them. But when you see these lists, sometimes you can't help but feel like, oh, I'm not doing enough, or I'm not funny enough, or I'm not talented enough. I don't know enough people. And when you're working hard and pushing and pushing and trying to do all the things, and then you see that and you're like, fuck, how am I not doing enough? I already have no life. I already am constantly working.
Posting and working and writing.
I mean, I'm working 80 hours a week, right. And 80% of everything. It I don't get paid for. You know, it's like mostly free work.
Right.
And then I go, you know, and then I just kind of get grounded. And I'm like, you know what? It doesn't matter. Like, I think one, the list, not that they don't matter, but what I mean by it doesn't matter is like, you can only do what you can do, and you just gotta like fucking relax, you know? You gotta.
But okay, I do have a question.
Yeah.
So when it comes to this list,
yeah,
the first question that I have is, does it help you as a comedian if you're on this list?
It can, for sure.
Okay.
The list I was on helped me in some ways. Some ways it didn't, but.
So now you're thinking, okay, so I've been on lists before and it's helped me.
Yeah.
And it's like, damn, it would be nice to be on this list.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm mentally ill thinking that I'm going to be on every list.
Right. Which is fine. Which makes sense because
I shouldn't be doing comedy to be on lists. You shouldn't, you know, nobody should do things just to get praise.
Well. You're ambitious.
Yeah.
You have goals. You want what you want.
Yeah.
I say, just to disagree with you.
Yeah.
That to me, it does matter. And because it matters to you a lot, and if it does, feel your feelings that it's okay. I don't to hear you go, it doesn't matter.
I just don't want to. I don't want to feel bad about myself, and I don't want to mope around all day.
Okay, that's smart. I like this.
Like that. That's where I'm just like, this is not helpful. This is a problem. Like if that, like, I don't want to feel bad about myself when I see those things. I just want to feel. Because what I feel is happiness for those people.
Right.
Genuine happiness.
Right.
It's not a competition with them. I never look at it and think I'm competing with these people. It's always the negative side of it is on myself.
It's why am I not doing enough?
Why am I not doing
enough? Or am I not doing enough?
Am I not doing enough? What else can I be doing?
Gary Vee comes in and says, you have to take full accountability. And you're like, oh, fuck you, Gary Vee. Now I'm not
Gary Vee's like, yo, how many videos you posting today?
Yeah.
Is that a good Gary Vee?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many videos did you post today?
You have to take full accountability for what you do. You're failing because of
accountability.
You.
Accountability.
But, like, first off, I hear what you're saying. And I just want to say, your concerns and your worries definitely make sense, especially as someone who is pushing themselves to be better than they were yesterday.
Yeah.
And I can see how those lists are very important to you. And I just want to make sure that, hey, you are working hard enough.
Thank you.
And as we know in this entertainment industry, we don't know where you'll be.
Yeah.
But we do know that through your efforts and your evolution of what you're doing, that'll lead to something that will fit you in a way that hopefully Sid will be happy.
Yeah, hopefully she'll be happy. Hopefully I'll buy a house.
But you get what I mean, right?
No, I think... I think
I don't want to be like one of those floofy-floofy
people. No, I think what you're saying is, and what I really... if I could get something tattooed to my body, one of the things would be nothing good passes me by. Like nothing that's right for me will pass me by, you know? And I think that's what you're saying.
I'm saying this too, as also. This is the hardest lesson that I've ever had to learn in a long time. It's when I'm going after something, and I'm about to tell you the girl that I'm in love with and et cetera, like anything.
Yeah.
And maybe this is like a bad mindset to have, but now I just have no expectations whatsoever. And so if something bad happens to me because I have no expectations, I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But if something good happens, then I'm like more like appreciative and grateful for it.
Right.
And a lot of people have told me that's kind of, that that can like be demotivating, but for me,
I think you blindly work as hard as you can.
Yeah, but what is hard work? I see some people work, and I'm thinking to myself, you're not evolving your art in some way.
Yeah,
like something's not working for a reason.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
No, yeah, I think it's. Let me rephrase that. You work as hard as you can, but you also have to be monitoring what. The result, not what the results are, but how you're making your process more efficient. Because I think it's bad to worry about results. I think you should not be worried about results. You should be putting your focus into process.
You should be working on the habits that you're creating for yourself.
Yes. If you're working on those, focusing on those, perfecting them,
yes,
the results will come. You don't need to worry about them.
Because it's a preparation meets opportunity type of things. And so when those opportunities arrive, guess what? I'm so motherfucking prepared for it.
I'm ready, yeah. And it's like if you're...
That's why tantric masturbation is not the way to go, because I'm wasting time and I'm creating fucking bad,
but you,
unhealthy
habits. No, but
you're
preparing to be good when you make love to...
Myself again.
No, to another person.
But anyway, go on. No, it's not.
What do you mean? You're going to last really long. Doesn't every woman love it when you last for hours?
I mean, have you ever... Like,
I'm kidding, actually.
I don't know.
No, no woman likes
that. Let's bring a woman in here and let's have a conversation
with her. No, I feel like... I mean, look, I could be wrong. I don't mean to speak for all women here, but I feel like most women are like, can we do this in 10, 15 minutes? Like, can we be done?
Yeah.
Can we be done in 10 minutes and go home? Anyways.
I don't speak for all women, but
no, I'm just kidding. That's the best thing a man could say. Yeah. I don't speak for all women, I'm going to attempt to.
It's like when a white person says, not here to overstep my boundaries because I'm not Filipino, but balut sucks. I'm
yeah. Like, what? You guys like Jollibee, right?
Yeah, you like Jollibee. Yeah. But hey.
Yeah.
How are you though feeling in general with everything? Like, are you anxious about anything regarding this list, or you're working on that right now, or are you thinking about the insecurities of the past?
So I think my process right now is like, for a while I was trying to make a lot of stuff in volume, quantity,
Russ.
Pump it out.
Right.
Pandemic was a reason for that. I was home. I had a lot of time.
Pump it out.
Not so worried about quality, more concerned with quantity, wanting things to be good.
Right.
And me to think they're funny, but not like
trying to perfect it to push it out.
Yeah. Now I'm kind of bored of that a little bit.
Right.
I feel like I've reached a wall with that. And now I want to go back to what I was doing before this, which is like, working on bigger projects that take a long time, but have a huge reward. And what the challenge is when you see this list to me rewards people who are
pumping out as much content as they can.
Yeah.
But that's the world, man, that we live in, dude.
Yeah, but I
you have to think of the audience as like really, as I would, first off, not to invalidate what you're saying.
No.
First of all, we're going to talk about the world and then we get to what you're saying.
Yeah.
In the world of content marketing, we always said since whenever I manage YouTubers, it was always like the audience they like to consume.
Mm-hmm.
Let's fatten them up, right? Let them eat you as much as you can.
Yep.
And then they get fatter with you, and pretty soon they become that loyal fan. So I understand that. But now we're at a situation with you where you're like, I'm tired of doing that.
Yeah, I feel like I've
right.
I feel like I've accrued a small following online, and now I feel like to really break through, I need to dig deeper and bring them something more fulfilling, more.
Then the hard part about that then is when you make that big thing, it better be fucking fantastical.
See, but that's worrying about results. I gotta go. I'm working about the process.
Fantastical, I mean, to when you look at it, you're like, holy motherfucking shit. Yeah,
totally. It has to be the right idea.
But you said the word rewarding. That's why I said fantastical.
Got it.
But let's say fantastical for you. Like, you look at it and you're like, I would watch this over and over and over and over again.
Like, I want to, you know, and I think it's just not being so quick to just, let's throw it up, let's shoot it. It's an easy idea. Like, I want to dig a little deeper. I want to put a little more effort into it.
Right.
Maybe that means so instead of putting out, you know, this year I've put out almost 100 sketches.
Right.
You know, in however many months it's been, 10 months.
Right.
I did double that last year. Next year, maybe I put out 10, you know, or 5 really well-produced, well-made sketches and a short film, and I write a movie.
Makes sense. See, I think, but see, here's the thing. I think doing the 200 content pieces has helped you get to the point where now you can make that
choice.
That choice of smaller content pieces, but now they can be increased quality.
Yeah.
So if you're an artist that's listening, my suggestion is post a lot in the beginning. And then once you develop that strength, then you can get to a point. I mean, you've been doing comedy for 13 years.
I've been doing comedy. I mean, I always say I've been doing comedy for as long as I lived in LA.
Right.
But like, I did comedy in college. I started, the first time I ever did stand up, I was 18.
Yeah,
but
so you've been doing this for 10 years.
Yeah, but when I started taking it seriously was when I moved to LA in 2014. But, you know, in college, I'm doing improv a couple times a week. I'm doing stand-up once a month.
First off,
I'm doing it.
I want to say this.
Yeah.
For you to be here in 2014, so you've been here for 7 years.
Yeah.
And how far you've come.
It's crazy.
Like, congratulations.
It's crazy.
I want to give you some props here because I know some people, they've been here for like 10, 20, they haven't even booked a show.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And you are crushing. Can we do something, though, that's kind of cool?
Yeah.
Okay. So my therapist did this to me, and then I want to talk about something that you just reminded me of when it comes to prolonging a project, which was like, and it like did really well.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I want you to do is I want you to lift up your hand for a second and like rest it on here. So it's like resting. Is it comfortable rested?
Yeah.
Like, is it like rested a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hang on a second.
I really want you to be comfortable for this.
Okay.
Okay. Now I want you to look at a portion of your hand, just one particular spot. Like, do you see it? Whatever that you're focused.
Yeah.
Okay. I want you to keep on focusing.
I'm focusing on my hand.
Okay. Now I want you to close your eyes.
Okay. My eyes are closed.
Okay. And I want you just to focus that image that you're looking at when your eyes were open, but now it's inside your head. You're looking at your hand. You're looking at that one particular spot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you feel around your hand? Do you feel vibrations around your hand?
I feel a little heat.
Right. Okay, perfect. Perfect. All right. Keep on looking at it. Keep on looking at it. What else do you feel?
I feel some tingling.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like your hand's moving just a little bit?
Just a tiny bit.
Okay. Now, okay. I want you to imagine this. So those vibrations that you're feeling, that heat that you're feeling, that movement that's happening just a little bit, in reality right now, your hand is completely still. But the reason why you feel all of that is because it's the earth spinning. And even in our stillness, we are moving.
Ugh. That's great.
Right?
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, so.
Yep. I love that.
Okay, so open your eyes for a second. And what that does, and what that should remind you of. And mm-hmm. of course, it's like a longer session, whatever she's doing. But it's like, wow, I am present right now.
Yeah.
I am so fucking present right yeah. now. What is reality? This is reality.
Yeah.
And they talk about how the past and all those lists and everything, that's not real time right now. Anytime that creeps up and it affects your decisions moving forward, that's what we call a glitch.
Yeah.
This right here, this moment, this is reality.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you're present, now that you know what's around you, then it's like, okay, it's time to take that step.
Yeah.
Whatever that step is going to be. So isn't that cool?
It's great. Yeah, that's great.
It's fucking...
It's spot on. It's, again, it's when I say process, I mean, be in the moment. What are you working on right now? And I think what can bother me sometimes,
yeah.
You know, when you're working on a project, tell me if you feel like this,
yeah.
when you're working on something really cool,
yeah.
but it's not a video that just went viral or it's not something that's getting written up about,
yeah.
but it's really cool. The money's coming in, whatever it is, or it's not coming in, but you know, it's really cool.
Yeah.
And then you see something happening that is exposed to the world, given to the world.
Right.
A list, a video, a movie, whatever, a deadline article.
Right.
Is there not a part of you sometime that is like, God, but I'm like not really doing anything.
Dude, I'm fucking human, of course.
You know?
Of course.
That's but I want to fight through that shit. Cause it's
yeah,
like,
but bro, like
just trust that it's like I'm doing something cool. I believe in myself. This is great.
Yeah, man, I'm fucking human, and it's something yeah. that I go to therapy for all the time because I think I'm a nobody. But then you also have to look at like how much you've accomplished.
Well, that's what you just did. That's what helps with it.
Right.
Like it's, that idea like, of
what
like,
is reality now. But now I'm not saying be complacent, but I did that with you because I know that you're still an ambitious person that you're like, okay, what is real? What is reality? Okay, now I'm going to fucking go after it. And listen. There was a guy that I used to work for. I worked at Hint on sugar flavored water, and this new manager came in, and they were replacing stuff that I was doing with other people. And I go to him like, bro, I can be a better social media manager than this person. I'm a better camera person. Blah 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 blah. And he goes, you're so talented that yes, I know that you can be better at this
uh-huh.
and better at this and better at this and better at this. But right now, you need to just focus on one thing.
Yeah.
And when you do that. Because you're so good at what you do that you're going to explode in this position and it'll help the company as a whole. Now I think about that with my stuff. I'm fucking human. I see this TikToker go viral. I see my brother, his film's doing well. I know that I'm a good writer, but he, all these stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, let's focus on this fucking podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Let's focus on one particular thing.
And let's kill it. Focus on that one thing.
And
just kill it.
So when I do look at the deadline stuff, it's like, fuck me. Yeah, I'm not doing enough. But I'm like, I will get there.
Yeah, yeah.
But thank God for this.
But isn't that so fleeting? But the feeling that's not, like those articles, that kind of stuff, that is fleeting. By tomorrow, 2-3 days, I remember, I got it in the New York Times. Within a week, it was as if it never happened.
Okay, so this is...
You know
it doesn't matter because it doesn't... It does matter, but going viral... Okay, here's an example.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first off, so in 2015, I don't want to get into it because I've already got into it, but I made a video, a carpool karaoke video.
Yeah.
For 30 days, I was an Uber driver. I put my camera and I make everybody sing, I can't feel my face when I'm with you
yeah.
by the weekend.
I think I've seen it. Yeah.
I looked at it. It was a beautiful piece. I post it. I do a Reddit strategy. Boom. It goes viral. I'm talking 100 million Facebook video views. It gets so viral to a point, I mean, now it's taken down because of copyright, but it got so viral that The Weeknd saw it, called fucking Uber. Uber called me and said, hey, The Weeknd saw it. You want to go to Toronto to see him play his last concert at the Mod Club, which is a 200 venue, and then you get to meet him?
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck yes. So I do that, and I go, and I'm with The Weeknd. We take Snapchats together. It's really,
really
fun. He's like, bro, this was so fucking cool. We give each other hugs. It was phenomenal, and I'm getting text messages from everybody and DMs here and there. And then about a week later,
it's gone.
It wasn't gone, but the feeling that I had was,
yeah.
whatever.
You know what that makes me think?
You know what I mean?
You know what it makes me think? This is drugs. It's fucking drugs.
Social media is drugs, dude.
Social media, getting likes, stand-up comedy. I am high all the time. I'm just driving around.
Looking for the next hit.
Looking for the next great joke. Looking for the next hit.
Give me another like.
It's just drugs. It's all it is.
But it's so beautiful sometimes.
It's beautiful and it's good, but I think.
And the come down sucks, though.
Come down sucks, but you have to remember that. It's drugs. I'm finding that my time between being triggered by something like a list or whatever to getting to where I am now is getting shorter and shorter. And I think that's a direct effect of, you know, therapy and just practicing like, loving yourself and just believing that you're enough, like truly believing it.
It's hard. So you were talking about doing a longer project.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you about the longest project that I think I had to put together. And I'm so glad that I did. And it's one of my favorite videos of all time. So in 2015, doing the Uber thing, I used to, you know, manage Simple Pickup and all these YouTubers. So I knew what, like, had this concept of going viral. And I thought to myself, you know what would be really cool? If I surprise passengers with puppies.
Uh-huh.
So I had to think to myself, how am I going to make this video do really well without, number one, making someone get allergic?
Yeah.
Or like, how do I get all the camera angles?
Yeah.
And so that took an entire year of planning.
Just to figure out
where to place the camera. So I had like three, four GoPros, a camera in the middle.
Yeah.
Try to figure out where I can rent these
GoPros.
Do you
sign releases? Do you get releases signed?
Of course. I would say, hey, in the camera, like, is this okay? The California law, you're okay with that.
Yeah.
As long as they see in the camera, they know. So have it all set up, and then I think, you know what I'm going to do? And I'm being vulnerable, you guys, and now you truly know. But I faked the entire surprising passengers Uber puppy video.
Really?
I faked it all.
Wait.
Except for two passengers.
So you hired like actors?
No. So I went to a college. My brother was dating a girl that worked at that went to school in Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, can you get your friends who are down? I can tell these people like how to kind of react.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can just go from there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that, picked them up, made sure like people were situated, and then I planned the entire thing. So after it was all done, and I did get some fun little two real customers, I put it all together and I'm like, how do I sell this? And how I sold it was, these puppies were adopted from the Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pushing out Adopt-Don't-Shop. So now I have the Adopt-Don't-Shop. Okay, that's there. And then I took that video when I published it and I sent it out to about 40 different journalists. And I licensed the video to a company called Storyful. Through that licensing and through the emails, it got on Mashable and then it just went completely viral. Like The Weeknd was 100 million views. This was like 300 million views.
Crazy.
Facebook video views. Like it was in fucking the Australian Facebook news site. It was in Spain. It was in Mexico. And then on top of that, I was getting interviews. Like people were calling me up and I was on different people's podcasts explaining how I did it. And I would always lie.
Until now?
Until
is
now.
Really, is this really the first time you're telling the truth?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
And I would always lie and say, oh yeah, I hit up 20, shelters, and that's how I was able to adopt these dogs.
Yeah.
But to your point is what I'm saying is, to me, this was one of my favorite videos because it took me so long to do. And once I figured it out, in fact, it was very genuine at the same time because they're still cute dogs.
Yeah.
The people that I'm picking up, it's still my energy, but I just wanted to make sure that it went viral.
I think when you put a lot of time into something and you work really, really hard on it, that's never a waste.
Right.
It's really never a waste. I think we're in this time where we're just trying to get that dopamine hit. And we're trying to get it quick.
It's so fucking sexy. I love it.
And I'm not.
I love it.
I'm not chasing that anymore. I think I want a bigger hit. I don't want a couple little hits.
You want a bing bada boom hit.
I want a really huge hit. After working on something that I get to put out.
That's the hardest part, though. It's like you're banking on that one hit if you're only posting very few pieces of content.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I got to break through to it. I just feel like I want to do what I want to do, I need to do something a little bit differently.
Have you thought about, do you do anything that gives you hits besides, like, any dopamine hits besides, you know, being with your significant other or someone that you love,
or comedy,
anything else?
Yeah. Sports.
So
playing basketball.
So that's a hit. So you can do that more often. And that isn't,
I think another thing I'm realizing is when you're working really hard, it's hard to find time for all of this.
I will say this though, out of all of this, I think the one thing that I am jealous of, and I'm going to admit it that I am jealous, is that you have a significant other, you know, your wife basically, Sid, that when you grow, you're growing with her.
Yeah.
And so I look at you and sometimes I think, ah, oh, fuck, you're so lucky. Because if a success happens to me, like the Facebook audio rooms that just happened where I made a bunch of money and they even gave me an award. Yeah. I want to talk about that in a second. They gave me an award.
They gave you a microphone stand?
No, like, yeah.
Jonathan held up a microphone.
Hey, they should have given me a microphone
stand. Yeah, that's what they should have given.
But they gave me an award and it meant nothing.
Because
who do I tell this to?
Yeah.
I can't sleep.
I should really
with my
shut the hell up. And
no,
be grateful. No,
I'm
you're
just,
right. Though.
No, I'm just saying.
But you're right.
I'm just saying.
But you're right.
No.
But you are right.
I'm not saying shut the hell up. I'm just saying. I just wanted to say the one thing that I'm jealous of.
Yeah. No, I think.
Not to invalidate everything else that
you said.
But you know, I love
this
you.
Is why you're right. Because when I was a single man,
it sucks being successful.
I was so sad. I would drive. Listen to this. Every night I came home to my shitty ass apartment in East Hollywood, I would drive into the parking space that I could barely get through. I had to do like a 12 point turn to get into the parking space. I would sit in my car. I would turn it off. I would sit in my car and I would just sit there because I didn't want to go inside because I was so sad. And I just go on Tinder and I would just fucking swipe and swipe and swipe and swipe.
Somebody love me.
Somebody come to my apartment and marry me right now. It's fucking sad. And I don't feel like that anymore. And that was the saddest I've ever been. So you're right. I don't feel like that anymore. And I don't want to ever be that sad again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm so sorry. Oh, thank God you're out of there. But imagine that.
Can you imagine me sitting in my car?
Yes, I can imagine.
I'm like, I don't want to go home.
Well, what's there to... But that's how I feel too.
Yeah.
But it's even... I think it's worse... I think it's worse being a single man who gets success and is not able to share it with anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
nobody wants to be the guy who's just like eating Chinese food over the sink in his underwear.
Right. And
you know?
And in a mansion.
And he's yelling at something. Like, God damn it!
Like, I don't want to...
He's just yelling.
Ah! But I don't want to be like that 50-year-old really wealthy dude that just has like a beautiful person nearby.
Right.
Just because they're beautiful. I would love, as I'm getting my success, to be able to share it with somebody. You know how much fun it would be to have a conversation with a significant other as you're like strategizing content or just strategizing about your life or thinking about different career steps? Or, for example, when I went to this Facebook audio room event, it'd be cool if she was sitting next to me and we're like, okay, when you see this person, you're going to do this. When you're going to do this.
Oh, yeah.
How fucking to share your life with someone special who's intelligent and smart and ambitious. Oh my God. That's like, give me like, God damn, dude.
Maybe what we...
Talk to me forever, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Can we have a crewmate? Maybe... Like, there's got to be someone out there listening to this that's in love with you.
Well, I am in
love. Oh, you have someone.
I am in love with somebody. Right. No, I've had people that have, like, DM'd me.
Really?
And we've had long conversations.
So impressive, John. Thin.
No, but I mean, I don't know. Like, in the past, as I'm getting older.
Yeah.
In the past was, I would be so enamored and infatuated and not obsessive, but, like, really thinking about these girls that I've met. And I've come to realize, like, oh... I was only into them because I was infatuated through the objectification that I was having over them.
Like, right.
I cannot wait to have them sit on my face type of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Right. That's just straightforward, right? Yeah. I can't wait to taste their lips again, right?
Yeah.
But now what I crave for is, yes, I still want them to sit on my face.
Of
obviously.
Course. Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
But I cannot wait to talk to them again.
Yeah.
I cannot wait what she's going to say to me.
Well, that's very good of you. That's,
you know what I mean? Like, mature. Oh my God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so of course there's like someone, but who knows? Who knows? I'm trying to just no expectations.
Yeah. Here's another thing that happened to me. And I think the crewmates are going to hate me for saying this, but I don't care.
No, I love this.
I'm starting to sound like I'm complaining about good things. I was going to go on a trip that I'd been planning for weeks.
Yeah.
With some really close old friends of mine.
Yeah.
For months, really. That I saved and put money away and just, it was like, I'm so excited to go on this trip. And then I got a job.
Oh my God.
And because of COVID, because of COVID and the timing of this job, I literally hours before my flight, I had to cancel this trip. I couldn't go with my friends.
Right.
And I don't mean to complain. It's a good problem to have. I'm aware of that. I'm very lucky.
Hey, dude, it's okay to complain.
But it's so. But it was so frustrating because, you know, it's this thing in this industry where it's like, it always was. Drop everything you're doing for this one opportunity. I don't care what your dad's 90th birthday. He's on his deathbed. Come do this thing. Right. You know, it's always been like that. But now with COVID, it's like, it's what do that tomorrow.
Do that tomorrow.
Do it tomorrow. My biggest fear is I don't want to be a shitty friend. That's one of my biggest fears. I want to be accountable. I want to be a reliable friend. I don't want people to think I'm big timing them.
I mean, he did show up 20 minutes late today.
I did show up 20 minutes late. So. But that's because my wife drove my car and she told me where it was and it wasn't there. That's her fault.
Gary Vee says, you have to take responsibility. I do have to take responsibility. So it's not your wife, fam.
I should have.
It's your fucking self that's doing
it. It's mine.
Yeah. Okay.
But you know, what was cool is that my friends were so supportive. They were so cool about it.
Of course they understand.
They totally understood. But I was beating myself up about it of like, I'm a shitty friend. I care about my career more than my friends. And it's also like, you kind of have to.
Man, just do that arm thing. Look at your thing and just remember like what is real, what is reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now you're making those. That's such a cool little exercise. Like, holy shit, fucking change the game.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah. No, it's stupid, but it is.
It's not stupid.
I'm not going to the trip.
Bro.
You know where I was going?
Bro. What?
You're going to laugh. You know where I was going?
Why? Where?
Take a guess.
Las Vegas.
No, that would have been even sadder. Tampa, Florida.
What a shitty place, yeah, bro.
I'm like, I'm not going to Tampa. I've been waiting for weeks to go to Tampa.
Oh my God. At least you didn't say Pensacola.
Oh my God. So honestly, I probably lucked out.
But it's okay. Hey, this is what I think. I think it's okay to express your pain.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine. As long as
I'm doing a podcast. I got to have something.
Right. But as long as it's like, you know, it's like you're complaining with purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're fine, bro. Yeah. And I'm not going to judge you for that.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
It's when if it just depends.
Yeah.
It depends if you're not aware. Like, you're very self-aware.
No, I'm aware of how ridiculous it is to complain about that. But also, it's not about the trip. It's not about the job. I think I was just so excited to see these old friends.
Mm.
And the older I get, great friends, I cherish them. I cherish them. I swear to God, they're everything to me.
They are everything.
They're currency.
As I tell my friends, I am nothing without you guys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How are you doing though?
Well, right now I'm thinking about, okay, I'm going to tell you two things. I'm going to tell you the best breakup that I've ever had, why it was romantic.
Yep.
And then I'm going to tell you, holy shit, how I was able to bring closure actually in real life right now.
Okay.
Okay. Now what I'm about to say for the closure part, just don't judge me too hard, but you're my friend. We're good, right?
Yeah.
Hi, please.
I'm not judging you at all.
I need some love.
I'm just complaining about not getting to go to Tampa.
It's funny, though, dude.
It is pretty funny.
It's fucking funny, bro. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Okay, so this is why there's like the most romantic breakup ever, okay? I don't care if she hears this. It's over. Closure. It's 4 a.m. in the morning, and I'm sitting down in our bedroom on this stool.
Mm-hmm.
And we already have a major argument, right? And so I already know what I'm about to ask her a question, and I already know the answer, Noah. So I look at her and I go, hey. And she's already leaning on like the wall a little bit. And I look at her and I go, hey, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not going to say her name. Hey, blah, blah, blah. Do you love me? And she, her like eyes light up. She curls up and she like leans into the wall. Like she becomes one with the wall and she begins to fucking just break down and cry.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'm so sorry, Jonathan. I'm so sorry. I love you, but I don't love you the way that I used to. I'm like, how long has this been going on? She's like, I've been having this thought for about like a year and a half, but I didn't want to tell you because I did not want to hurt you. And here is like the love of my life at the time. The woman that, you know, now retrospect, like I fucked up a lot, but the woman at that time where I'm like, oh my God, I love this woman so much. I would do anything for her. She's fucking breaking down and crying. And the only thing that I can think in my head is like, oh my God, come here.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want to cry, but I can't. I have to be strong in that moment. So I take her, I put her on my head. She begins to cry. She breaks down. She's like, I'm so sorry. I say, it's okay. And then we have that magical moment, like the last hurrah, you know, the last, like everything comes out, sweat, blood, like everything, no blood, just sweat.
What do you mean?
We're making love.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, breakup sex.
It was too colorful a way of saying that. I didn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, what
about.
Am I supposed to say? We fucked? No, I'm going to be very...
That's what I would have said.
No, but
I would have said we banged.
This is a very romantic breakup story, yeah. You know? So we're like getting into it, and then we wake up the next morning, and she's like, I don't want to break up. I'm like, no, that's last night talking.
Yes.
You said what you said. I packed up all my things, and... Every single year, we would run like a marathon, or a help trainer run the Nike Women's Marathon together. That year, I didn't go with her, like because it was 2 days later. I didn't go with her, and then to finalize it, I drove her to work at 7 p.m. because she's part of the medical field. And as we're walking outside,
this is after the next morning.
This is like 3 days later.
Okay,
so we do our thing, pack up my shit, still packing up. So this is like 3 days. We have our last conversation in this car, and then I walk her outside and I go, hey, blah, blah, blah. See that up there? She's like, what? That's the North Star. They say that if you believe that the North Star is love, no matter what's happening between us and we keep on going there, everything will be okay. But right now, you need to be your own North Star and I need to be my North Star. But I do have a question before, you know, you go inside your little house. She's like, what? I'm like, did you grow in our relationship? She's like, are you kidding me? Everything that I am and everywhere I want to go is because of you. I was like, oh, that's all I wanted. And we said our goodbyes. And then I blocked them all on social media afterwards. But
blocked who?
Her and her sisters and her family. But yeah.
Did she live in a little house?
She lived in a little house. What do you mean?
You said when you go into your little house. Never mind.
In a little house? What?
You said when you go into your little house that you told her that. Doesn't matter. Don't even think twice about it.
Little house.
That's such an incredible. It doesn't matter. That's such an incredible story.
Wait, little house? What?
You said you heard it. You said you're gonna go into your little house to your blah blah blah.
Yeah.
You said I'm gonna go. So I'm like,
little house? What else did I say?
You said, you said you're going to go into your little house,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. What's up?
Before you go into your
little house,
right.
You had a question for her. So I'm thinking, who is this person living in this little house?
Oh.
Anyways.
I meant to say like I'm sitting down in our apartment on a stool.
Yeah.
And I looked to her. The left, and then I asked her the question.
Got it.
I don't know where the little house came from.
It's okay.
I fucked up. It's okay.
No, it's okay. It was beautiful. I mean, it was very texture.
But then now it's like, and I don't, like, I don't know if I should tell the story or not. But now there's
closure.
Well, I'm not gonna lie. It took me 3 years to get over her in my head.
Uh-huh.
3 years of, what is she thinking of me? Type of situation. But okay, so we didn't talk, and then I was in my manic state, and this is what I did. Oh God. I'm going to tell it. Fuck it.
Just do it.
Okay.
As long as you're not admitting to a crime.
No. It's not admitting to a crime. Okay. So a year after that,
mm-hmm.
I decided to meet up with her. And we're having like a conversation. And I don't know what it's going inside of me, because money was like a big issue in my, in our relationship. Remember, I gambled, I lost over $540,000, a lot of like big things. And the reason why our relationship wasn't working, why I wasn't moving, was because I was secretly trying to live a lifestyle that I couldn't without telling her the truth, and always gambling.
You're not Ubering yet, right?
No, I was a manager for Simple Pickup, made a lot of money, lost it all to gambling, started Ubering in 2014, made viral videos.
Still dating her,
broke up. And then in 2015, and then afterwards, a year later,
yeah,
while I was getting my shit together, like I was still Ubering on and off, but then thankfully in 2017, I got like this, I was helping YouTubers, but then that turned into like a bigger career in 2017.
Got it.
But in 2016, I decided to meet up with her, and I was like, yo, I owe you $6,000. And she's like, what?
Did she know that?
No. I said, she's like, what? I'm like, for every single time I stayed over, for every single time that you paid for anything, I just want to make sure that in this relationship that you, you know, because money was a big thing, that you were at $0.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
What? Wait, so like you owe her for letting her, for you staying at her place?
A lot of things, yeah.
You don't owe her for that. You owe her for her cooking for you, buying food for you.
Well, I counted that in. I know that I borrowed maybe like $1,000, and I did pay that back. But yeah, everything I counted.
You don't owe her for any money that she deliberately gave you as a loan. You owe her for that. I'll buy that.
Yeah.
But for those are just costs of a relationship.
It's just, I know, but it was like this thing that was like urging inside my soul and spirit, where like I stayed over at her place because I didn't want to go to my place, and it's like, whoa, I was just using her apartment.
Were you still paying rent at yours?
I was living in a car for one of them. But yeah, I was paying rent actually, yeah.
I don't think you owe her for that. Look, if you feel like that, there's weight on your chest in that, and by giving her that money, that would have taken that weight off your chest. That's another thing.
Well, here's the thing.
But in the
league, I'm not even.
You're not even done.
I'm not even.
You crazy mother effer.
So I said that to her, and yeah. I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But I was, and I still am a very insecure individual, and I was trying to figure out how do I close this loop, because I feel as if I wasn't the best boyfriend. And that still haunts me to this day. Like, yeah. I still think about the moments of my life like, wow, even though I didn't do this, I can't believe I made her feel like this.
Uh-huh.
I can't believe that when we were together that I made her feel like trash. Like, I will always remember that sentence, right? Because she wrote that one time where she's like, he wasn't presently here and he makes me feel like trash sometimes. I'm like, oof. And we had our ups and downs. But I wanted to kind of like leave a way where I was a quote unquote good boyfriend, especially like a good ex-boyfriend. And so I thought, I'm just going to say that I owe her $6,000. Maybe the loan, maybe everything, maybe rent probably was like, I want to guess like $2,200. And so then I added even more money. So let's just say freely from everything was about $4,000.
Okay.
What I probably owed her was around $2,000.
Okay.
Because maybe we're splitting rent and I didn't pay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whatever. And when I had a lot of money, I made sure I gave all of it. Like, I paid for trips. I paid for everything.
Yeah.
I'm even following. For her. Because I was trying to live a lifestyle. Anyway. So, next year arrives, and we haven't talked whatsoever. It's December, I think, 17th, I think.
Wait, so what did she say to you when you said you owe her that much money?
I don't remember.
Okay. A year later.
I was, like, a manic.
Okay.
Like, 2016 was a very manic year.
Yeah.
So, I do remember a lot of stuff, but I think in that conversation, I was just like, oh, I do remember. She was like, why are we even, like, didn't we closure everything? Like, why are we even here? And I guess that propelled me to go, well, because I owe you $6,000. And I go, I will one day pay this to you because I want to make sure that in our relationship, you didn't have to pay for a thing.
Yeah.
This is what I probably owe you plus more.
Okay.
So then we don't talk at all. And then in 2017, the following year, around December 17th or whatever, the following year, I get a Venmo notification.
Oh my God.
And the Venmo notification reads, payment one of $150 from her.
A request?
Yeah. There wasn't a text message before. I mean, and when I looked at it, I just laughed because like I was like, this makes sense. I mean, to me, it's like very fucking funny.
It's very funny.
Because it's like...
So you didn't pay her... You told her you owe her $6,000. You didn't pay her for a year.
You didn't pay her for a year.
And then a year later, she's probably like needs a little money. And she's like, I'm going to get this fucking guy to give me that money.
I don't think she needs a little... I don't think she
but
needs
money.
But
she's like, that's my money.
It's time.
Someone told me that I get $6,000.
I better get it.
I don't care who they are.
Well, also because... I
don't care what they did. They told me that.
I think it was like a circular thing too, because at the same time, I like reached out to one of her friends and for some reason I was stupid and asked her out on a date. And so what came into mind was she probably told her... My ex. Oh. And then she's like, okay, it's time.
Okay, it's time.
So
he wants to date my friend. He's going to pay.
Bro, it's karma and my fault. It's karma. It makes sense. Like, I do deserve this. So I get. So
why
didn't
you just pay her when you had the money?
Hold on.
Why did you tell her you owed it to her? Why didn't you just give it to her when you had it?
I know. I should have just done that. But anyway, because I have this false sense of idea back in the day where
you
I wanted.
You get jacked up.
I was getting jacked up and I wanted like an affirmation. You know, yeah. Like the dopamine hits when you read like a half a script and you're like, read half my script even though it's not fucking done. Yeah. And you're like, oh my God. And you get those fucking hits. Yeah. Well, this is the same thing. Yeah. But instead, it's the Venmo thing. And so December 17th or whatever, December of that of 2017, payment one of 40. Request $150 from her.
Did you pay?
Right away. Click pay.
Yeah.
I just click pay right away.
Honestly,
like,
probably really good for you to have this payment plan.
Yeah.
Like way better for you to not think of it as this big chunk. And you're like, okay, it's $150.
$150. So,
whatever.
So this is what I did. So I kept on. And so
was it every week?
No.
Or was it every month?
Every month.
Okay.
So every time I felt weird or like bad or I felt like I was doing something wrong, I would just pay. Like I would be like, oh, here's $150. Here's another payment. Until around 2018, after around like 13 payments. I posted a video on YouTube and it was about the Chainsmokers story, but I made a mistake where I kept her like name there.
What do you mean?
Like I didn't say blah, blah, blah. I said her actual name.
Okay.
And so then she attacked it and she claimed it for privacy, which makes sense. And this riled me up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, listen, we haven't communicated since for like 2 years. I'm doing everything that you wished. I haven't talked about you again. We're on the payment plan.
Yeah.
Like everything's good. And she's like, I don't care if you found yourself. As I said, also we found ourselves. She's like, I don't care. This is not right. And I got into it, but then I had to take a step back. I'm like, oh my God, she's so right. She's fucking right. So I texted her again, like, I'm so sorry. And then bing, bada boom, I deleted the video. But then that riled me up so much that I said, fuck it. I'm just going to pay her in one lump sum because I'm tired of doing this payment one of 40 that I keep on requesting because that's just like triggering me.
Yeah. You got to be done with it.
So I would tell a bunch of friends, they're like, don't pay her. Don't pay her. You don't owe her shit. But yeah. I want it. So I just never paid her, but it was like still lingering in the back of my motherfucking head, Noah. And I didn't pay her in 2019. I didn't pay her anything in 2020. And I could have. But I was gambling still.
Is she still sending you Venmos?
No.
Okay.
She stopped doing that. She only did that one time. Everything else, I freely gave.
You did it to her.
Because I didn't want her
to
request.
Were you keeping track of?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So it says two, it says three, it says four, it says five. And I was going to make like a massive video out of it. Like I was going to interview friends individually and make a whole fucking spectacle.
Yeah.
And it looks like I am making a spectacle now. Whatever. Hold on. He's plugging it in. That hurt my ears, but it's fine.
Me too.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And then finally, and I always had the money, but I would always just like gamble it. So about 3 weeks ago, I'm in New York and I'm like, then all my best friends are like, don't pay. I'm like, you know what? In my head, I'm like, I need closure right now. This will bring me closure. And so I pay her the amount of money that I owed plus interest because of inflation. I made sure I added
inflation. It's been like what, 4 years? Not that much inflation.
Yeah, but I wanted to make sure that I did right.
Jesus Christ, you are not Jewish. You are not Jewish, my friend.
And you know what's so funny about it? Like, nothing's changed.
Did it work?
Like,
did you get closure? How much was it
that I gave her?
Yeah.
$4,386.24, I believe.
Okay.
$4,800.
A lot of interest.
Yeah, inflation.
This is crazy.
Dude.
So it didn't work? You don't have closure?
No, I do have closure.
Yeah.
I do have closure because, well, no, I had literally, I think I had closure 2 years ago. Like I said, it took me 3 years where when I started sleeping with people and dating other people, I no longer compared her to anything. And
yeah.
I was like, whatever. You know, she's irrelevant in my life.
That is the best way, I think, to get over someone.
No, I think to sleep with a lot of people.
I think to date a lot of people or, you know,
oh, yeah,
you sleep with them. That's fine.
That helps a little bit. I think this, the idea of like trying to figure out a way where they become absolutely irrelevant in your life.
Yeah.
So that was already there. But did I get closure? I think, I don't know how I feel about myself right now. I'm still trying to process that. I know that I'm not owed anything, but I think to myself after paying that lump sum of money, I don't even know what, dude. Do I throw a part? Like, I don't know how I feel in reality.
I think you really now need to just put it away. Like, you need to not, like, you've said it on this podcast, and that's great because it's a great story.
Yeah, I'm not going to make a YouTube video out of it now, but.
Well, no, you'll use this. But I think you need to put it away. You have every right to put it away. You paid her.
And it's okay that I'm talking about it. I want to talk about it because I need to.
No, it's good that you're talking about it. But I think what you should take away from getting that done with is it really can be put away for you. If it comes up again, if you feel bad about the relationship, it's time to move on.
My girlfriend Venmo'd me $6,000. No, my ex-girlfriend Venmo'd me $6,000. No, my ex-girlfriend Venmo charged me $6,000.
Yeah, she requested it. Man, I tell you, if my wife and I ever get divorced, I don't even know how I'm going to live. She literally, I wouldn't even like food if it wasn't for her.
Oh my God, I love you.
I'm serious. I would literally.
Oh, what?
I would be cooking. I would always think of her. Every time I stepped in a kitchen, or every time I cooked anything, ate anything, any meal, I would be haunted by her. She did that on purpose.
She did it on purpose.
Seriously, I'm like, if we, God forbid, we ever split up, I would die of starvation. I would not be able to eat without feeling so sad and shitty.
You love her so much.
Like, if she cheated on me, I would be sad to eat food. If I fucked up, I'd be sad to eat food.
It's all food. Right?
If we amicably went separate ways, I think I'd be sad because it started in this great place and now it's not there anymore. And now I'm back in the world looking for something else. Can't eat food. I'm so fucked. I'm so fucked.
You'll starve, bro.
I'll fucking starve.
We don't want that. I want you to live.
I'm gonna stay with her no matter what so I can eat.
I love that you love your wife so much, though. I think it's a very beautiful quality.
Isn't that what you're supposed to?
Yes, I don't like when those guys complain about their wives.
Guys are like, oh, my wife, she's an old bag of bones.
It's like, oh, she's always a weight. It's like, what the fuck, bro?
My wife.
Don't complain about your wife.
Yeah.
You married her, love her, cherish her, give her everything.
I don't know if that's like a modern man thing, though. I think that's like an old, like our dad's generation or.
Don't to complain about your wife?
Yeah, I think everyone complains about their significant other, but I don't think it's like, I mean, you see like old guys being like, no, I hate this woman. No, truly, she is awful. I hope she dies. Anyways, I got to go home to her. You know, like you see that, but I don't think that's a modern man thing. I don't think it's a contemporary. I think men are either like alone and sad.
Hey, I'm pointing at myself, motherfucker.
Or they're alone and fucking, but they're still kind of sad.
Hey, that's me too, dude. That's me too. Or sometimes I just fuck myself.
Fuck yourself. Yeah. Or they're with someone that they like, that they want to commit to, that they're best friends with.
That's not me. That's him.
And then there's the fourth man who's with someone they love, but they're abusive. Happens. Sorry.
I think anybody that hits somebody.
I don't even mean just physically. I mean like emotionally,
right,
manipulative.
Anybody that's emotionally and physically abusive to their significant other doesn't love their significant other. It's about control for them. It's not about love.
You don't think so? You don't think they...
As someone that grew up in a household...
You don't think O.J. Simpson loved...
No.
Nicole?
No, he didn't. You don't do that to someone that you love. But I think it, you do that to someone that you can't control. You want to control that situation. I mean, this is what
you're right.
This is what I believe. It's all about control. Listen, I lived in a household where my father consistently said, "I love you, I love you, I love you," as he would hit us and fucking go nuts.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm sorry. It's because you can't control us.
Yeah.
Right? I'm trying to ask, like, I was.
Did your parents, are they still together?
No, they divorced, thank God.
When did they get divorced? How old were you?
I was 19. My mother gave me a call. So basically, this is. And we planned it for like 2 years to get the divorce.
You're 19. That's the right age, I think.
No, sorry, 18. But
no, I think that's the right age to if, as a parent to leave your if you have kids.
Yeah.
I was talking to this with my friend, and he brought up a good point. It's really fucked up, you to divorce while they're before 18.
No, I disagree with you.
Well, this is what he said. Let me tell you what he said. This isn't my opinion. Right, I thought this was interesting.
Sorry to get agitated. This is a big topic.
No, listen.
Don't worry, we're almost done.
So he said, if you have problems, if you guys are fighting, you do that when the kids aren't around.
Okay.
That is your burden. You fucked up. You married the wrong person. That should eat you. It shouldn't affect the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You put on a smile for them. You make their life the best it can be. When they're 18 and they're out of the house, you say to them, "We're splitting up. This isn't right for us. We wanted to give you the best life we could, but it's not working anymore. And now you're an adult and you can handle that. And now this kid isn't growing up in this torn home of fighting or you know, going between mom and dad and courts and lawyers and what's mine and what's yours and who's paying for what." My parents are still together, so I don't know. It's unfair for me to give an opinion. But when he said that, I was like,
that makes sense.
That makes sense.
I don't know. I think I wish my parents, I would beg my mom every day
to leave.
I mean, he was.
But you're.
It's a violent home.
Yeah, but they broke the golden rule, which is you don't. They couldn't do this because it sounds like your dad had a lot of other stuff going on.
Yeah.
But he broke the golden rule in that he put it out for the kids instead of setting a boundary. And if your marriage is unhappy, keep that within your marriage. Don't bring it out to the family.
Well, I mean, he brought it to the family because he wanted to control the kids and he wanted to control everything.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck him.
Fuck him.
What if I was like, I mean, I don't know him.
I'll be like, okay, that's fine, but fuck him.
No, I agree. Fuck him.
No, fuck that guy.
No, he sounds just like a terrible guy.
He's just evil. Wow. Can I end with a dark story about him?
Sure. But what do you think? Do you think, I mean, it's hard for you. I agree with what you're saying.
I don't know.
You know what you're shedding a light on?
Here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
Kids are really smart.
Yeah.
Children are fucking fantastic.
They can tell.
And they're geniuses.
Yeah.
Where they will feel the feelings of their parents, and they know that it's not a happy home.
Yeah.
I grew up.
I know someone else who feels the same way as you.
This is really hard. This is really weird to say, but because I lived in a broken home, a lot of the women that I end up dating or having relationships with usually come from broken homes too. And even the ones that where their parents played nice, they knew that they were not nice with each other.
And it messed them up.
And it's still like, not messes them up, but they're still a little broken because of it.
Yeah.
I think a relationship, it's like, hey, just be nice to your kids and be nice to each other. And if it's not working between you two, separate, but still figure out a way
be nice.
To make sure that you're being nice to your children.
Yeah.
And that's how you foster a good relationship.
Yeah.
One of my best friends, and I'll say her name, Bailey Cooper, who I love so much. She has parents that are divorced and she loves them equally. She's not as broken compared to the other girls that I've dated,
mm-hmm.
right? It's because both parents knew that they couldn't be together. Both parents still respect, admire,
right.
can love each other, but they know they're not right for each other. And they love their daughter, Bailey Cooper, so fucking
well. It's unfortunate as humans how we're like, we're so black and white. It's either we burn this to the ground,
right.
we burn everyone around us, or... I mean, is there any other? I feel like it's not even black and white. It's that no one splits up amicably. I guess your friends, but that's like what, a one in a million?
No, I mean they probably didn't break up amicably, right?
Right.
But at the end, after that breakup, they go, okay, let's make this about the kid for a second.
Yeah.
Let's make this about our kids for a second. How do I make sure that I am still a great parent.
We're a great team. A parental team.
Right.
We're not a husband
and
wife.
But you have
team.
To be together.
Yeah.
Because kids are, they feel that shit.
Yeah. I just don't want to yell in front of my kids. And that's hard. I mean, my parents were yellers. They were great. I love them. They, you know, they're not perfect, but they did the best they could. But they were yellers. Come from a very passionate family. We yell and we get emotional, right, and we speak our minds. I don't want to yell in front of my kids.
Then don't.
It's just so hard to control sometimes.
Go to couples therapy. Figure that out.
Yeah.
Figure that out.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry to be so aggressive with that.
No, you're right.
Sorry, I have...
We're a good couple, and we're very happy, but...
Out of all the things that, I joke around with life and everything, when it comes to hurting children,
yeah,
when it comes to domestic violence, when it comes to verbal violence,
yeah,
I get a little riled up.
I get it.
And it just fucking...
I think if we were to have kids, we would go to couples therapy just to, let's get on the same page.
Yeah.
And let's just, let's... Because I think all those big moments, we did couples therapy before we got married.
Yeah,
we did it one time, and the lady was funny. She was like, "You guys seem great. I don't know why you're here." And we were just like, "Well, we just wanted to get out in front of it, just see if there's anything going on."
But then you leave with a high five, like, "Yeah, we're good.
We're like, man, we rule.
We're the best."
But yeah, I think before those big landmark sort of decisions, it's good to check in with someone who mentally, because then they can maybe teach us some things about kids, from a psychological point of view.
Yeah, bring your kids in a little bit. I mean, when my mother divorced, what we planned, which is really great, we brought all the kids in a little sofa. A therapist came and explained what was happening.
Got it.
I think that was really smart.
That's smart.
I was about to end with a very horrible story.
Yeah.
But I won't get into it.
Do it for next time.
I'll do it for next time. All right, guys. This was a lot. Hopefully you learned something.
Yeah.
Hopefully you had some fun. I have a pink microphone.
This is a seafoam green microphone.
Seafoam green. We love you, or I love you, with an LUV, not an LVE. You can follow me at Jonathan Garano or The Bottle Club. Obviously go there. You can follow Noah at...
Noah Built the Ark or The Bottle Club.
Yeah. Or who built the Ark?
Noah Built the Ark.
Oh, shit. Right. And remember, if you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and you leave your Instagram handle... one of us will DM you, video message you. It's beautiful.
We'll give you a shout out.
Yeah, hopefully. But that woman, man, she's in my head right now.
Crazy.
She's coming over to LA.
Oh my God.
I can't wait to speak to her again.
No. I'm not going to let you.
What are you talking about? The one that I'm in love with right now?
Not my
ex-girl.
The one you paid off.
No.
Have closure.
Okay, bye.